Well, welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up, we're going to talk with Aaron Allen Kane, musician who's just blowing up right now. She was in the Trib on Friday, and then I saw her over the weekend also in the Sun Times. She was on the cover of Red Eye. So we'll talk with her tonight, Aaron Allen Kane in studio. Also, we're going to play The Worst, which will be fun coming up. So right now, a new subscription website has entered the sports journalism landscape here in Chicago. It's called The Athletic, and it promises to cover the local teams with local reporters using statistics to help us better understand the wins and losses and the storylines that are playing out. John Greenberg is a familiar name in Chicago. He's a former writer for ESPN Chicago, and he will serve as the founding editor for The Athletic. And he joins me tonight in studio. John, thanks for being here.
No, thanks for having me, Justin. I appreciate it.
What a great day to talk about a subscription site because, I mean, everybody wants some new take on the Super Bowl. I mean, I can't tell you. I mean, I thought that Drew McGarry's piece in the Deadspin today was probably the best, where he's just like, Peyton Manning, bleep. bleep. How hard is it as a journalist to find a smart take on the Super Bowl?
Yeah, when you're doing it yourself, I think it's tough. And I think that, you know, the Cam Newton stuff, everyone's ripping him. But really what he did was give everyone, I mean, he like served up everyone's right. takes for them, right?
Right.
I mean, it's not like there wasn't a lot to write about. It wasn't a great game. But, you know, a lot of people were writing about how Cam blew it, basically. You know, the MVP set up, the defense killed him. It's that old story of defense wins championships, easy stuff to write. But, you know, when you're doing that stuff, a lot of, especially the newspaper guys, are on really tight deadlines. A lot of them don't even go down to the press conference. So they just do one. They bring their laptop. They have their story ready. They plug in a quote and they send it because you're on a tight deadline for that stuff. So, you know, I'm sure some people are ripping their things up. I'm sure people are, you know, it's going to be piling on more today. You're going to see it tomorrow.
Because what Cam Newton did was you see so much commentary, and this is where, you know, sports journalism makes its money with the columnists and the commentary right. about how he, you know, he blew it or
right. the way he didn't answer the question
petulant
correctly.
Or, right. you know, this is not how an MVP is supposed to act.
Right. And so, you know, my take and what I wrote about it on The Athletic, and that's not everything is going to be subscription-based. We'll talk about that later. This was obviously, I'm not going to make people pay for my thoughts on Cam Newton. But
you should.
Right. They were hot. My take is, one, we deal with this all the time. I mean, I used an anecdote when the Bears lost to the Packers in that de facto NFC North Championship game. We're waiting for Lance Briggs because, you know, we thought he was the guy that called the defense. Chris Conte might not have heard it when he called an audible, and that's what led to the touchdown that won the game for the Packers. Briggs just stormed right by us. I mean, he had his luggage in. He must have got dressed in the shower. Walked right by us. I think one of the reporters tried to stop him, and he didn't say anything, just walked away. And that, you know what? That happens all the time. Guys get dressed quick and just – they just jet. They don't want to talk.
In this case, he has to go on because it's probably an NFL
right.
rule.
Absolutely. Right? Then you have to go to the podium. Right. And then it was awkward. I watched it on TV, and I can see why people had that reaction. It's awkward when a guy's – it's almost like kind of looking down on people a little bit. Mm-hmm. People say it was just the reporters, but, you know, we're really the conduits to the fans. So I think that's what, you know, makes it a hotter take. And then obviously there's the racial aspect of it. I mean, people have been kind of waiting to unload on Cam Newton. You know, he's the guy that when something goes really well for someone and that person knows it and he's not playing the fake humble game,
right.
that just tees them up. And I hate the fake humble game. What's the point of it?
Right.
I'm a columnist.
That's a great point.
Yeah. I'm a columnist. I want guys to act real. I mean, as long as it's not like, you know, they're saying like terrible, terrible things. If they're just, you know, being angry or whatever, it's good for me because it gives me, you know, an aspect to show the fans what it was like.
It's fascinating because, you know, I didn't see the actual press conference. I read the transcript.
Right.
And when you read the transcript of it, it doesn't seem like any other athlete. I mean, it's like, we got outplayed. Next.
Right.
You know, like, it's got that kind of dicka kind of, like, right. shortness to it.
I think because he's like a powerful guy, and he's big, and he just kind of looked angry, and he just wore it on his face. He didn't, you know, do, and there's no false airs about it. And then you get these reporters are like I said, not every reporter's in there asking questions, so it's just people just struggling to come up with the topic. A lot of people didn't seem like they did a lot of prep work on their question asking. Yeah, how's this feel?
You know, how does it feel?
And sometimes those questions aren't terrible in a late game situation. I always like to say I'd rather have a guy just say, how does it feel, than especially some of the reporters, some in this town who I love, but they'll ask these rambling questions, and they just go on and on and on, and like, we get it.
Right.
Just ask the question. Make it quick so we can fit another question in.
Right.
So I'm not
right, exactly.
I'm not a huge opponent of how does it feel questions, because I had a problem with Ozzie Guillen once. Not problem, but I noticed I wasn't getting good answers. So I asked someone why. And they go, you're asking too long of a question. You know, Ozzie's translating in his brain, and he was unbelievable, the best ever at the media. So you just gotta
right.
tee it up for him.
So how does it feel works for an Ozzie Guillen.
Right.
Yeah.
You would go to Ozzie, just go, Mark Burley? I mean, and that's but that works for him because then he doesn't have to spend time translating your question.
Interesting.
And he goes his own way. You're not trying to put words in his mouth. And sometimes that works. In this case, it did not work at all, and it was a huge disaster for Cam.
I like it. I think it tees it up for a great storyline for next year. Cam Newton now every time. I mean, right. The good and the bad. He's the face of the NFL, and I like that he's not so polished.
Yeah, me too. I absolutely agree. Yeah. I don't want polished athletes. I don't like – like the Peyton Manning stuff was kind of funny, the pitch man stuff.
Yeah, right.
But you don't
right.
want that all the time. It's funnier when he does it because he does it with such like a earnest smile. He knows what he's doing.
Right.
Which I dig more than like Russell Wilson's kind of dorky way of doing it. So,
you know, one thing I noticed last night, John, final score, and they got that Bronco logo, you know, and it's just like the Broncos and Peyton Manning and legacy, and he's talking to John Elway, and there's Shannon Sharp, and there's Terrell Davis, and there's just this legacy. And then I'm like, oh man, it's interesting. And then I'm thinking about the Panthers two times in 20 years. And I think about the Patriots, the Steelers, even the Arizona Cardinals to a certain extent. You start to see that these teams have built something. Then I think of the Chicago Bears, and I'm like, you know, we saw the 30 for 30 on ESPN where it was just like legacy, 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 legacy one time. Where did the Chicago Bears stack up when it comes to an NFL franchise?
Very, very low. Mike Silver, who used to write for Yahoo, now writes for NFL.com, used to do these ownership rankings. And it was funny, really funny, subjective, but he was really plugged in, and he always had the Bears like in the bottom five. It's the reason why what you're talking about. Think about who everyone was thanking after the game. Remember John Elway grabbed the trophy and he said, this is for you, Pat. For Pat Bowlen, the owner, is suffering from, I believe, Alzheimer's, and he wasn't there. But Pat Bowlen is a real owner. It's a singular thing. He had the power. He has the football knowledge. He knows who to hire. I mean, he fired Shanahan, who was like his closest friend,
right,
when he thought they were slipping, and then Cutler got bumped. And that was a mistake, and he rectified it with John Fox. The Bears don't have that. They've never had it. And I mean, they had it with Hallis, obviously, but since then, they just really haven't. And the McCaskey families, you know, George McCaskey loves the Bears and loves the fans. He's a true, cares about them, actually, I think. I really do. But they've never had a person with that kind of gravitas to own the team since Papa Bear died. You know, I know he wanted his son Muggs to run it, and then he passed away early. So, in Virginia McCaskey, God bless her, I think she's done a good job, but she just didn't have it either. And that's been ownership. Ownership is... They have bad ownership here. It's nothing else. It's, you know, no, there's no curses. There's none of that stuff. It's just, they're just not great owners.
Yeah, it's amazing to be able to watch a documentary about one of the best football teams in history and then 4 days later have this conversation about, yeah, but that was a one-time thing, and right. This Chicago Bears team doesn't even rank when it comes to legacy.
They've had what? They've had one Super Bowl since 85. I believe Broncos since 85 have been in seven. And they've won three, is that right?
Not to mention
six,
playoffs.
Maybe a six.
Not to
six
mention just playoff appearances.
Right.
I mean, they're perennial. I mean, they're
they made
all
the playoffs with Tim Tebow.
Right.
I mean, what does that say?
And it's not like there's, I mean, you could make an argument that the Green Bay Packers have been in the Bears' way, but it does seem like the Bears have had their opportunities.
Right. I mean, they should be better. And that's, I remember, you know, bringing back to that Silver story, one thing he wrote is that he would always quote another front office person or an owner saying, with their market, they should be even up there with Dallas as far as revenue,
right.
But they're not. It's run like a mom and pop place, you know, to coin a phrase. But I mean, it's like that's just what they are. They're a mom and pop franchise, and they just have never figured out how to monetize what they have, which is this entire beautiful city at their fingertips.
One football franchise, right. In this huge city. Yeah.
Right. And it just never worked. And people talk so much about the legacy of the Bears, and you know, I'm not from here, so I hear it, and I'm just like, what? You guys are overstating the legacy a little bit. I mean, it's like it's same thing. It's like one time with Lou Piniella when he was talking about like Sano and Williams and all these guys, and Lou just goes, "All those guys are on the same team for that many years and they never won."
Right.
It was a great point.
Talking with John Greenberg, he's the founding editor of The Athletic, a former writer for ESPN Chicago. Let's talk about The Athletic. So this isn't your brainchild necessarily. This was entrepreneurs saying, you know, what Chicago needs is its own site.
Right. These two guys, Adam and Alex from San Francisco, big sports fans. They worked in like kind of tech world and sports world in San Fran, and they wanted to do this website. It was one of the guys' ideas, and they kind of banded together. And then they went and looked at people, and they kind of did the research, and I think they contacted one or two other people here, and they kind of targeted me through a LinkedIn email, of all things. Like, who checks their LinkedIn? I don't even know how I saw it. So, you know, and I was very skeptical because right. You see these things pop up, and I mean,
It's a startup. Guys from that aren't necessarily from Chicago. You had a job, so it's a little bit more difficult.
Right. And I was looking at the time because I knew I was done at ESPN. I got about 3 months' notice. And so I was pretty frenzied because I have two kids. And I found out I wasn't getting renewed at ESPN like 2 weeks after I bought a house. Mm. So, you know, it was a little hectic, but I still worked at TouchVision. I still had the ESPN gig, and I was looking at it. And they convinced me. You know, they convinced me they had a really good setup. They already designed the site. So it convinced me a little bit, and we talked, and then they came here, and we met. And I decided to go forward with it. It's a pretty good plan. It's going to be partly subscription and part free, and we're going to mix it up a lot. The subscription stuff's going to be worth it. You know, it's going to be some interesting research we're doing. I mean, we got them doing – they're doing a lot of research during the day and feeding us stuff. Or we're saying, like my Cubs writer, Sahad of Sharma, will say, hey, I want to do – research on, like, you know, Arrieta's slider, mm-hmm. or something like, or change up how he's using it. So then they give us the numbers. We make charts.
That's going to be your bread and butter, because you're going up against a market that has two major newspapers.
Right.
But you've also got, you know, I guess sports radio
of
and
course,
other places that they're. So how do you succeed at The Athletic? What is it? What's your game plan? What makes your site a must go to?
Well, that's a great point, and that's why we hire. When I went to hire, I wanted to do. Pretty careful about it. So we only hired two other, basically one full-time, one kind of full-time guy. And Scott Powers, who covered the Blackhawks for ESPN Chicago, is a popular among the fans. And Sahad of Sharma, who's very popular amongst Cubs fans, who worked for ESPN and then Baseball Prospectus. So I wanted guys who have covered the teams and who know something about it and maybe have an interest in doing a little more than just, you know, what you have to do as a beat writer, which is get the quotes, get the sound, put stuff in perspective. So I want them to do a little more. And I don't have to tell them. They do that on their own. They come to me with the ideas of, you know, analyzing the game a little different. I think we talk about how much competition there is, but if you look at both papers, and the great staffs, I love people there, really smart people at all the places here, but everyone's really understaffed. And it's shrinking. Nothing's growing in this market. And that's terrible. It's bad for the fans. That nothing is growing. I mean, they're not hiring people. They're letting people go.
Well, not to mention startups. You know, Jonathan Ike's Chicago side didn't take.
No, like,
you know,
his was a little.
His was a little bit more feature stories, but they're not just the newspapers. I mean, sports in general or sports coverage in general is not growing.
No.
So what can you do to change that? Stem the tide on that?
I think what we're trying to do is like my stuff's more conversational. I try to be a little funnier. You know, a little inside perspective. What I know, what I don't. And try to entertain people. And we're also going to be doing, like I said, is giving you the numbers behind stuff. Like, say Scott wrote a story on Anisimov's problems at the faceoff dot. You know, he's been a great player, unbelievable addition. That's been like the one thing that's kind of down this
Saturday.
Right, huge game. And that was kind of he also, with that game, also was one of his few games that had over 50% winning faceoff. So that's a little thing that might not sound like a big deal, but, and you know, the writers will write that sometimes in the trip when they have time, and I'm sure someone has. But we can focus a little more on that, you know, just to try to give fans a little more. When I write, I try to think, what do people want to know? I want to make someone laugh, you know, a couple times a story, but I also want to give someone some new information. So they're spending time reading this that they're like, oh, I got something out of that. And then you share it. And that's, we want our stuff to be shared, you know, social media, and that's how you do it.
Let me ask you this as we wrap up. You know, now that you're the founding editor of a startup at The Athletic, what have you learned from the startups that you've watched or read or been a part of that either have succeeded or failed in the sports arena?
I mean, that's a great question. Because, I mean, Grantland, the thing with Grantland was it succeeded. It just, ESPN didn't want to pay for it anymore because
it's
personal
expensive.
Reasons.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I mean, part of it was expensive, right? They were, I mean, that was like,
yeah,
one thing,
were
I guess,
mad, right,
one
right.
thing I guess I did learn from that and from other sites is watch your spending a little bit and don't just spend and hire people just to like make a big impression and do a push. You have to do things a little smarter. You want to pay people well, but you don't want to hire so many people you can't afford to pay people well. You don't want to do things and spend money in ways that take away from the product. All we're really worried about is the product. We're not worried about hiring like consultants, you know, things like that. I think that's when you get bogged down. And I think for us, the main thing is so many of these startups go up, but there's so much national sports blogs and sports websites. Mm-hmm. We don't want to do that because I just don't see the room for it. I don't see the need for it. But locally, there's always a need for it. As long as you report, you're not just writing feature stories. You're not just writing like, you know, stuff that's good, but maybe doesn't have like the sticking power.
You need a day-to-day.
Right. We want to be day-to-day.
Visitor,
we want you coming every day. We have a decent amount of subscribers already. We have a lot of people who have signed up for free ones, a lot, way more than we thought. And way more people that have already put down money to pay. I can't say they're all my family and friends. But there is other.
You got a big family.
Yeah, I got a huge fan. But like GM, like a GM, like different sports people in sports have told me they're going to subscribe. People that work for teams in town. The one thing I have learned is it's also very tough to do an independent sports entity in town. You get a lot of blowback from people, from teams and stuff that we're dealing with. And
you got to get the credentials. You got to
they say
we only have this many credentials, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, kind of. It's just like there's a weird resistance to writing online still in 2016. Even for like, you know, I've been around here since 03. Mm-hmm. People know me. I've worked for established places. So it's interesting to kind of navigate around that. I think we're going to do fine. But it's just
old school. You're talking about the actual teams.
Right.
They're like, we don't respect you because you're not in a newspaper?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I'm serious. It's,
that's hilarious.
It is. It's like, and I was like shocked.
I think that says a lot. And I, you know, to name the teams, but I think, you know, for all the futility we've had in Chicago, maybe there's something there with the idea that they're like, online? What's that? What?
Yeah, how do I get that?
What is that?
Well, you know, it's not
we
even.
Don't like it.
There was a funny scene a few years ago when the NCAA tournament was in town. This might have been like 2010 or 11. And we were getting credentialed for it, for me and Scott. Scott was our college guy at the time, and I was columnist for the first round of the tournament here at United Center. They would only give us one credential. We're like, why? You know, it's crazy. It's United Center.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, well, online entities, we only give one.
They have like a ESPN hard
Chicago,
and fast
right?
rule.
Which
right.
isn't really true. Right. And we kind of argued with them, and they were like, you can each go, but you have to like, well, you get a pass one day, and Scott gets it the next. And then I went to the game. And we bought ESPN Chicago, not the radio, but the actual website, bought a full-page ad in the program. And they acted like we didn't exist. And then I wrote a column that day. It was a big win for VCU, and it was on the front of ESPN.com, not ESPN Chicago. And I sent like kind of a nasty email to the guy like, hey, I know you don't think anyone reads this stuff online. But
look what's on the national site right now.
Yeah, look at the top, ESPN.com.
That's so fascinating. But that's a national organization, the NCAA.
Right. The NCAA and the Big Ten were running, I think, in kind of conjunction. But it just shows – it's just funny. I guess I'm biased because I'm in the media and online is obviously what you do. But like, it's just funny. That's just how it is in the city.
Yeah. John Greenberg is the founding editor of The Athletic, former writer for ESPN Chicago. The Athletic is part subscription, part free.
Right.
But it's going to be covering daily sports here in Chicago moving forward. John, thanks for being here, man.
Thanks.